Good evening. Thank you for coming again. Is it better than yesterday? Yes, that's good. You know, it is not easy to, you know, present these kind of things to me, but I struggled a little bit. You know, I have to organize, you know. I'm not a really good speaker, but I'm very glad because I have such an important message I'd like to share. As a physician, I like to educate people. Just giving, you know, prescription and conclusion of the test results, it's easy and it doesn't take long, but patients may get confused. They don't know why they get those and, you know, what's his status, what's he's expecting, what's the prognosis, and what he can do on top of pill. So education is very important. I think as a physician, that's my really pleasure to be a physician. Yeah. And I like this type of educational opportunities. So as I prepare things, I learn too, more and more. That's a great thing. You know, I'm excited. Yeah. We talked about reversibility last night. I didn't say the conclusion, but looks like you decided to make it reversible, right?
Yes.
Right. So let me see if it's really reversible or not. As I said yesterday, there are many entities here, but we're going to focus on a few things so you can generalize the idea. In general, there are two types of diseases. One is so-called genetic disease. You're born with a specific gene, like a cystic fibrosis. You may know those, right? Down syndrome, hemophilia, muscular dystrophy, sickle cell disease, thalassemia, Huntington's disease. Heard of it, right? Right. So those are something you're born with. That is irreversible, right? You cannot do anything about these, even though you wish to do something, right? On the other end, that is about 3 to 5%. Not many. On the other hand, the rest of them, non-genetic disease, we call lifestyle disease. Why? Why do you think it is called lifestyle disease? Anyone? It depends on your lifestyle. That's right. Right. Lifestyle. Right. Depend on your lifestyle, you can prevent, and also depend on your lifestyle, you can reverse things, right? This is reversible, 95%. There's a high potential for reversibility. I like this. If there's no reversibility, I don't feel like to be a doctor, honestly, right? There's hope. Even though someone had a very bad lifestyle, it doesn't matter, you know, if it was his choice or not. Maybe he didn't know about it, but he came to me, and if there is a way to get better, reverse, right? That's a joy, exciting things to do, right? That means there is hope, great hope. For instance, many people say, you know, they have a diabetes or breast cancer. They come to say, you know, it's all in my family. What does that mean? Is diabetes, I mean, that means she or he cannot do anything about it, right? Do you think that diabetes is such irreversible problem? Right. So I try to correct them. Breast cancer, there is a certainly genetic background, but genetically related breast cancer is about 3%. 3%. So that means cancer can be a reversible lifestyle disease. It's a lifestyle disease, mainly, right? I try to find the reversibility. In the past, we thought coronary artery disease is irreversible. Once you have heart disease, heart attack, that's it. You cannot get better. Once you have a central nervous system damage, it's irreversible, like a stroke, right? It is irreversible, I mean. But nowadays, we realize that's not the case. So if someone has a stroke, what do you see? Your friend got a stroke? What do they do after being discharged? Rehab. Rehab, right? If it is irreversible, why do they have to waste time and money? Right? Rehab. That means it's reversible. So they do exercise. Coronary artery disease. Nowadays, many doctors realize that is reversible. I'm going to, first of all, I found a few articles. This is a review article about the reversibility of cirrhosis. Cirrhosis means liver get hard like a stone. That's end-stage renal disease from many different diseases like virus, hepatitis, right? Or alcohol, right? We thought that was irreversible. Once it is hard, there is no way. You know, he has to die. Look at this. This is I don't know. This is abbreviated, so I don't know which journal it is from. But conclusion is this. The concept of cirrhosis has changed from being a form of static and irreversible entity to a dynamic and reversible disease stage. It's from a medical journal. I brought a reading. I'm going to try to summarize this, okay? There are two doctors trying to show the reversibility of coronary artery disease. Let me show you the picture first. This is a coronary artery, the artery on the heart. A is diseased. This area, right? It's narrow, right? Do you see narrow? And this one is completely normalized over, I think, 2-3 years. I'll tell you exactly what happened to him. He's a physician at Cleveland Clinic. He was 44 at that time. And there is at the Cleveland Clinic, there is a famous cardiac surgeon, Dr. S.L. Steen. Someone may have heard of him. First thing I would like to tell you is 3/4 of the humans on this planet had no heart disease, a fact strongly associated with diet. 2/3 of whole population of this world doesn't know about heart disease. Amazing. Isn't it the American disease? he's a heart surgeon, so he opens heart and do bypass surgery. That's his main job. But instead of doing that, he's teaching people. He got about 18 people in 1985. 18 people. And he tried to lower the cholesterol on average below 150. And also he told them, initially he allowed skim milk and yogurt, but he, you know, stopped consuming those later on. At 11 years of this study, 75% of his patients have seen an opening of their clogged artery. Wait a minute. 70% of his patients have been an opening. Oh, I see, 75. So they're sick patients. 7 of his patients had agreed to angioplasty. Oh, angiography. So they know the data. They can compare. They found 7% widening of the coronary artery over this period. He didn't allow anything else, no surgery, no medicine, just a vegetarian diet. One of them is this physician. He says, after 32 months without any cholesterol-lowering medication, he lowered his heart disease and lowered his blood cholesterol to 89 from 150. So this is non-surgical recovery, right? There's another doctor I would like to introduce. That is Dr. Onish. Dr. Onish is an internal medicine doctor at UC San Francisco. I saw him for the first time on PBS TV. That was about 15 or 20 years ago. He was lecturing for 2 hours. He did a great experiment with a heart patient. He got 28 heart patients with a lifestyle changes alone. He put patients on an experimental treatment plan and another 20 additional patients on the standard treatment plan, just a regular. And he did not allow any cholesterol medicine or any other medications. And he did only diet, and he was measuring how much blockage they had so they can do before and after coronary angiogram. And they eat low-fat, plant-based diet for at least a year. And only they allow the 10% of fat, their calorie, are coming from fat. Generally, they recommend generally 30%, but he allowed only 10%. No animal products were allowed except egg white and 1 cup per day of non-fat milk or yogurt. He did practice various forms of stress management, including meditation, breathing exercise, relaxation exercise for at least 1 hour per day. And the patient was asked to exercise 3 hours per week at least. The group met at least twice a week for 4 hours at a time for mutual support. They did not use any drugs, surgery, or technology to treat these patients. (Clears throat) the cholesterol dropped from 227 to 172. After 1 year, the frequency, duration, and severity of their chest pain plummeted. Blockage in their arteries diminished by over 4%. 4% sounds like very small, but if you recalculate as a volume the blood flow, it is much more. On the other hand, the control group, which just followed conventional medicine, their chest pain becomes worse in terms of frequency, duration, and severity. The experimental group experienced a 91% reduction in the frequency of chest pain. The control group experienced a 165% rise in the frequency of chest pain. The cholesterol level was significantly worse. Their coronary artery blockage increased by 8% in the same course. So that is nowadays recognized by many doctors. Coronary artery disease is reversible. Roughly about 80% or more of all healthcare spending in the U.S. is tied to the treatment condition rooted in poor lifestyle choices. So 80%. We may be able to save 80% of whole American medical, you know, cost by doing healthy lifestyle. Now I'm going to talk about... one more. In conventional medicine, the doctors do disease-specific diagnostic test, and they prescribe specific pills, right? But in the New START or lifestyle medicine, there's only one prescription. Only one prescription: healthy lifestyle. One size fits all. How easy? Right? If I see cancer patient, heart patient, someone comes back from heart surgery or heart attack, I talk about this. Do I have to say it differently? No. The same. It's easy. Anyone can do it, right? The exactly same healthy lifestyle works for heart disease, cancer, or any other medical condition. It's easy and simple. Why is that? Why do you think it is just a simple one size fits all? Why? Any idea? Okay. Anything else? The real reason is the cause of those problems is from simple one thing: unhealthy lifestyle. Cause it. To me, heart disease, cancer, cholesterol. Maybe I'm too much generalizing, but look to me that same disease. They showed as a heart disease. They showed as stroke, different disease, but causes. Pretty much same. Lifestyle treatment is almost same. Now I'm going to talk about, as I promised, I'm going to talk about resting. Resting. What would you say? What is resting? What comes in your mind when we say about resting? Huh? Sleeping, okay? Anything else? I'm sorry? Okay, anything else? How about sitting down, right? Taking a break? Taking a vacation? Relaxation, right? Those are kind of ways too we can relax and stay away from stressful, you know, situation. But I think sleeping might be the most important, very, very interesting thing. So I'm going to talk about a little bit about sleeping. What does sleeping do? Repair? Wow. That's an amazing answer. We're going to talk about that. Okay, you're ahead of me. Yeah. Okay, during... This is NIH description. During sleep, your body is working to support healthy brain function and maintain your physical health. In children and teens, sleep also helps support growth and development. On the other end, sleeping deficiency can occur in an instant or... Oh, the damage from sleep deficiency can occur in an instant or it can harm you over time. For example, ongoing sleep deficiency can raise your risk for some chronic health problems. It also can affect how well you think, react, work, learn, and get along with others. So sleeping is very, very important. When we talk about sleeping, I cannot talk about it without melatonin. You heard of it? Melatonin, right? Melatonin is a hormone. It comes in when there is a dusk, and it peaks at around here, about 2 o'clock in the morning, and about maybe 4, it peaks during that period. So it is always better to sleep during that period, right? So you can have a maximum benefit. And there is so-called serotonin. Serotonin is a I think it's a brother-sister hormone working with melatonin. Serotonin is for day, melatonin is for night. So if you want to have a nice, good dose of melatonin, you need to have a serotonin during daytime, right? If you're gonna have, if you want to have a good dose of serotonin during daytime, you need to have a good amount of melatonin. So if you sleep well, you're going to do well during daytime, right? Vice versa. I'm going to skip this REM sleep. The resting is very, very interesting when you look at the cell cycle. This is cell division. We have millions and trillions of cells in our body, right? Every cell is alive and divide and make a new cell. Different cell has a different life length of life, right? Hair, skin, those are short-lived. Blood cell is about 120 days, right? So they divide into two cells. So this is the area the cells are actively dividing, right? But there are long inactive period. What are they doing during this inactive period? They're resting. Resting, right? Cells are resting. So we do, right? Cells are resting. Many people curious about this. What are they doing, you know, during that long period of resting? Let me talk about, I don't know if you heard about so-called P53 tumor suppressor protein. P53 tumor suppressor protein. When someone gets a cancer, this gene gets activated. It starts working. It was sleeping all, you know, those period, but whenever someone gets cancer, it wakes up, starts working. Look at this. DNA, damage, cell cycle abnormalities or hypoxia, and then P53 starts acting. Look at this cycle, cell cycle arrest. So first thing so if there is a damage in the cell or cancer cells, it can activate DNA repair protein like this. First thing they do is they arrest cell cycle. We saw that cycle is running, right? They stop it to repair. And repair, and cell cycle restart once it is repaired. If it doesn't happen, this pathway, right? It initiates apoptosis. Apoptosis means, there is a different name, programmed cell death. And this is very interesting. If they cannot fix it, they kill it. So there's no more damage to our whole body, right? It's interesting, right? So it'll be dead and eliminated. It should be gone. If it stays around too long, then we may have cancer cell again, right? What happened to tumor cells, cancer cells? The big difference between normal cell versus cancer cell is cancer cell, there's no resting. No resting. It keeps duplicating. So cancer grows faster, right? It consumes all the nutrient energy, so they get cachectic, right? Quickly. They die, right? So that's the big difference. You know, this reminds me our current society, essentially Las Vegas, restless society, no resting, right? Maybe my life is similar too. How about you? Nowadays, the society is so fast, and there's no day and night, you know, 24-hour business, and there is more trouble with the sleeping, because it breaks, disrupts the sleeping cycle. If these kind of, if you get tired and stressed, you can do, as we talked about, sitting, right? Taking break, taking a vacation, and relaxation, right? You can recover pretty easily. But what if someone has, someone is under stress, significant unusual circumstances, serious stresses, or under crisis? They may not even fall asleep, right? They cannot. Nothing going to be helpful, right? I think this is the time we need a stronger help. Stronger help. I found a stronger help in the Bible. I'm going to show you. That is in Matthew 11:28-30. I'm going to read it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy burden laden, and I will give you rest. I'm going to circle here. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest into your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I circled here, I will give you rest. You know, just the minor problems we can take care of. But if there is a life crisis, unusual circumstances, you may not be able to solve the problem. You know, when I was young, like maybe 10, I played a lot, you know, with the kids, right? Playing balls. I broke windows, so many windows, right? When I kick, you know, at that time in Korea, the window, the glass is so thin, so thin. So if you just kick a little bit, it's broken. What am I supposed to do? I don't have money to repair, right? Who's going to repair it? Who's going to repay it? Who? My father. I like it. So even though I got a little bit scolded, but I forget about it shortly. As I grow up, I become a grown up, right? Adult. I have to take care of myself. It is not easy sometimes, right? It's not sometimes easy. I wish I can have a father all the time. But as a grown up, this society, that doesn't allow. But I'm glad, as a Christian, I don't know if there's anyone who is not a Christian, but I'm very glad I have a father, even though I'm grown up. You know, I can make a mistake, I can do wrong things, but it can be forgiven. Right, that's great. So I believe you can take a rest, you can go to Hawaii or whatever, you can take a vacation, but really ultimate resting, ultimate recovery is coming from outside. We cannot produce this seriously. Like my cell phone. I can use it for how long? Like this? Right. They said pretty long, but nowadays it's less than 24 hours. So what I'm going to do? I connect to the source of power. Right. Source of power. Switch from battery mode to AC mode. I'm going to conclude this talk with the one story I read. There was a man, he's grown up. When he was younger, they went swimming, and his friend was kind of drowning. He wasn't really a good swimmer, but he tried to save him, so he went to save him. He realized that his friend is holding his hand so tightly. So he got scared. He may die together. So he had to let him go. He felt very guilty all his life. And when he was grown up, there was another chance to have a swimming situation. And there was a really swimmer, professional swimmer. About that time, there was one kid was kind of drowning. He expected that will be, you know, there and rescue him. But he didn't do anything. So he was very surprised and angry. But he was just waiting until the person got exhausted and he went and rescued. Right? Sometimes, if we can try, but sometimes something doesn't work, And when we really need ultimate resting and recovery, we have to give up our effort. Then the power comes in from outside. You know, it is amazing when I feel very tired and I sleep maybe 6 hours, and next morning my leg is soft and refreshed. What happened over 5-6 hours? What happened? How does that happen? I mean, it's not scientific, but I thought maybe God came to my room and massage. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's amazing. Recovery happens only while we're sleeping. Sleeping means when we give up. When we give up. And when we are dead over 8 hours, miracle happens. Those kind of recovery, I mean, cell recovery, that happens during night. When you sleep. If you don't sleep, go to Hawaii, stay up for 3 days, you're going to get really tired. It's not a recovering, it's not a resting, right? So when you sleep, those things happen. When we give up ourselves, amazing things happen. I think that's all for me today. I think tomorrow Pastor Neri will talk more about those. So I would like to welcome all of you again tomorrow. Thank you.